We're off and on to the Song of Solomon. Praise God. And I am so grateful tonight to be encouraged, as the Lord has encouraged me many a time in this precious song. What a height. I'm grateful to God that tonight, as we started here with prayer this evening and all of the needs that are out here, how wondrous and how amazing when you're reading the love letters that you've ever received, how everything just seems to part and go away. Well, by the grace of God in Jesus' name tonight, as we get into the introduction, we're just going to touch a little bit upon even the introduction of this tonight, because just what it is and what it means is so rich and mighty, brothers and sisters. I pray that the Lord just captivate our minds this evening. And we're just swept away in His arms and this wonderful love. And I thank God that it is this precious song here. And as it starts out in chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "The Song of Songs, which is Solomon's." And as we'll go on in this, and as I'm sure most all, and thank God that we know, this is much more than just Solomon, the natural man, this king, speaking of this woman he adores. This is the height of the heights. This is the type, the shadow, and not just that. This is the actual words of Jesus Christ and His encouragement to His readied wife. And by the grace of God, I pray that will be us, that we are abiding in that place to be the bride of Christ. And in that, brothers and sisters, I thank God as we even begin this tonight, this song is Solomon's song. It's his. He's singing this to her. He's singing the praises of his heart. And as this will come out, we will understand what a height this is, again, to us and to the Lord and the very purpose of God. But as we know here, and as it begins, Solomon was the writer of this song. He wrote 1,005 songs, and you'll find that in Kings 4:32. And they were wondrous songs, obviously, and encouraging. But this one is the song of all songs. The song of all songs. The height of the heights. And God help us to let that capture our attention. I'll get to that in a minute. But why was it the Song of Songs? Because it's not only a love song, brothers and sisters, but it is the love song, as we know, by the grace of God. And brothers and sisters, I'm thankful that the Lord always does this in the Word of God. See, He leaves no doubt. All of the Word of God is vitally important. But there are certain things He emphasizes in the Word of God. There are paramount heights that He gives to us. And He doesn't hide it. He lets us know. And these heights He especially emphasizes. And what I'm talking about here is, as He begins this, He says, this is the Song of Songs. There's a lot of songs. There's a lot of things that were sung, written. There was a lot of love letters that came forth. But this is the one. Let this one, again, saturate your heart. See, whether it is the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, whether it is Paul's statement, follow me as I follow Christ, preach no other gospel. How about in Romans that the Gentiles should be joint heirs as husband and wife with Jesus Christ? Those are paramount truths. Those are the heights of it all. And brothers and sisters, this Song of Solomon is just that. It's the glorious highlight. And I thank God that its true meaning, man, the prophets, the sons of men, had read through this many times throughout all of those centuries. But yet, it was hidden. It was hidden from the prophets. It was hidden from the sons of men. But as the Word of God shown to the Apostle Paul, but now to us it is made known. And Paul's gospel now takes us into that inner chamber again, all by, yea, the deep things of God by his Spirit. And by grace, once again, in all confidence to him and him alone, he'll open up just a little bit more light upon light for us in this, as he always does. But brothers and sisters, as we begin again, the Song of Songs can also be interpreted as the praise of praise, the worship of worship. Think about Jesus Christ, as it was said of him, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Praise be to God. Lord, bring us in. Lord, draw us to you in this. But this is so wondrous how, again, this was all put together. But see, that's just how God is. He's just spectacular. See, the men, I was reading of some of these things, and I think that they're, again, it just magnifies the grace of God. The men that were called long time back to assemble the Word of God, to see which books, in a sense, would be included in their order and these things. Now, we know it wasn't man, it was God. We know that it wasn't man's choice. This was God's will. This was God's purpose. But he uses the likes of us. Isn't that amazing? But these fellas, they got together and they were, you know, they would think on these things and figure out and pray and all of this. And there was a time that as they were assembling this, that they would vote upon which would be where and all of these different things. And they would. And of all of the books of the Bible, it says that the vote that was the closest of all of any book that's here in this Word of God that was almost eliminated, can you imagine? It was the Song of Solomon. They couldn't figure it out. They wondered why. What is this? But I guess the Song of Songs grabbed them. I believe that something there, praise God, the Spirit, and whether they knew or not what they were doing, praise be to God, it was being done for me. It was being done for you. Thank the Lord. He uses a donkey. He uses a crow. He'll use a lot of different things, praise God. But nothing will stop his love to us. But see, brothers and sisters, natural man or religious man, they couldn't understand why this book, in many ways, appears in Scripture. Oh, there's many examples of marriage in the Word of God that speaks of marriages and speaks of love and all of these things, but there is no passage that's even close to the detail of what we're going to launch into in the Song of Solomon. There's nothing like it. Matter of fact, in the Jew Orthodox, at the very first, it was set up that they were not to read this until they were of 30 years old. Their thought that this was some type of, again, more of a natural application of courtship. But again, as we know, God meant it for us. And in this book, praise the Lord, there's an intimacy of courtship that is so hidden that it did need something. It needed the Holy Ghost to bring out in the fullness of the glory what this was for. And you think about something so hidden. Even her name in this whole thing. One time, it gives us a little clue of who this might be, who we'll touch on in just a moment. Only one time does it mention the Shulamite. And that's, praise be to God, when she's about to go and they're saying, return, return, O Shulamite. So we thank the Lord for this. But once again, how perfect, because it is a mystery. And we thank the Lord that we know in studying Paul's gospel. Paul's gospel again, brothers and sisters. And if you look at the writers that truly have looked into this and that are some of the more famous, if you would say, Bible teachers throughout the years that took the time to look into what does the Song of Solomon really somewhat mean. Now, we know it's going to be the Holy Ghost that even opens it up, but they could not deny, none of them that really know anything about this precious song, It was the Apostle Paul that unlocked the beginning of even seeing the mystery that is hidden in this precious book. And we thank God that we know this, that it was the Apostle Paul that said, this is a mystery that was shown to me and given to me for you. And thank the Lord, if you turn over to Ephesians chapter 5, as he even begins to tell us a little bit more in detail. And again, we'll go through this somewhat quickly, even though it will take some time. But brothers and sisters, we won't even scratch the surface. In the ages to come, the exceeding riches of his grace, in his kindness to us. But in the fifth chapter of Ephesians, in the verse 31, as Paul goes through and tells us about husbands loving wives and wives loving husband at the very end, he says, for this cause, for this marriage, shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. And praise the Lord, brothers and sisters, for this. A mystery, but I speak of Christ and the church. Now, most will jump at this, and I'm talking about Christians, and they'll say, oh, yes, just a wide swath. The bride is the church. Well, first off, I'm going to ask you, what mystery would that be? What mystery would that be? There wouldn't be no mystery in that, brothers and sisters, as we already know. And I thank God, not all the virgins are going to qualify. Not all. Oh, there were many daughters that did virtuously, but we know the word of God. He said, no, honey, thou excellest them all. This is a sun glory company. This is something, brothers and sisters, that's beyond the beauty of the moon. This is the one that is illuminated, not a reflection of. This is his very glory, and she's got it. Praise the Lord, it is sun glory. If you go over to the sixth chapter of the Song of Solomon, I love how it is put to rest very quickly. And it was interesting in reading some of those commentaries by some of these ones that really did delve into these things. Even though they would make the incorrect statement about the church, the whole church being the bride, they would still come back and say, but yet not all of these women, matter of fact, only one of these women qualified for him as his choice one, his love, his dove. See, brothers and sisters, he that wills to know will know of the truth. But once you see it, you can't see anything else. Once you see it, praise be to God, it's in every page, it's in every chapter. Come unto me out from among them. And this is the one. But if you look at the ninth verse of the sixth chapter, it says, my love, my undefiled, is but one. She is the only one of her mother. She is the choice one of her that bare her. The daughters saw her and blessed her. Yea, the queens and the concubines. And they praised her. Praise the Lord. I thank Jesus for that. I have to tell you, I thought of our precious sister McGuire and different ones I had met through her that knew her. And that she always wanted to come in and to hear that precious gospel of Paul. And yet they wouldn't come. They would sit and just be amazed at her beauty. Amazed at the transparency of Christ in her, the hope of glory. Marked it and said, oh my goodness, they're just... And it, again, she's in heaven, so we can dote on the work of the grace of God. Praise the Lord. But in that regard, but yet it's just like this, the queens, the concubines, the daughters, they commented, they saw, but yet in a way they still never really knew because they were even asking her, return, return. Let me tell you something, there was no way she was coming back. I love you all, but she made that decision long time back when she said, I will go. And this is exactly, praise God, what we have here. A one that has said, I will go. But this is so wonderful, brothers and sisters, because it is a mystery even to the church. She is even hidden to the church, because most Christians have no vision whatsoever of this bride. This is the pearl of great price that will come out of the church. She is a separate body. She is the one, as we read. She's a separate company. She's a separate rank. Just as the rib portion was taken from Adam to make his wife. And yes, the church is in a slumber to it. We read this very clearly in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. It gives us such a vivid picture. And out of the slumber, the wife that is ready will be captured away. And we thank God for this again. To him, out from among the camp. Now, as we begin this, who is this Shulamite? Who might she be? Who is this lover above all the other women that Solomon glories in? Well, I'd like you to go with me over to 1 Kings chapter 1. If we go over to 1 Kings in chapter 1, this isn't definitive, brothers and sisters, but I believe we have a good idea because of how many types and shadows we see out of this young damsel and how perfectly she illustrates truly the grace of God. And how wonderful this is in its absolute perfection to, again, testifying of the perfect word of God. Let's go ahead, and we're going to be introduced at this in this first chapter to a young woman, and her name is Abishag. And she is known as the Shunammite, not the Shulamite, but the Shunammite. We'll talk about the difference of those two in just a minute. But even the name Abishag, I want you to understand this. She was from basically the backside of nowhere. Little teeny piece of something that was on the end of something. Matter of fact, her name doesn't mean beautiful. It doesn't mean stellar. It doesn't mean, wow, she's just the most rewarding thing. Matter of fact, her name means my father made a mistake. The truth. My father erred. Sounds like just ripe for the grace of God. What do you think, huh? Isn't that the one the Lord always chooses? Esther kind of come to mind. Maybe David, the runt of the litter. The one that was the less of the least of his household. That's what God does, see. And that's why, brothers and sisters, you sit here tonight. Rejoice in there's not many mighty and there's not many wise. All right? We're okay. It's all good. It's tracking just perfectly right to the midst of the throne glory with him. Amen? Amen. All right now. So, let's go over here. And let's read 1 Kings chapter 1, 1 through 4. It says, "Now King David was old and stricken in years, and they covered him with clothes, but he got no heat. Wherefore his servant said unto him, Let there be sought for the Lord the king a young virgin, and let her stand before the king, and let her cherish him, and let her lie in thy bosom, that my lord the king may get Boy, and what heat she brought. And what heat we bring. Let's follow that here in a minute. So they sought for a fair damsel throughout all the coasts of Israel and found Abishag, a Shunammite, and brought her to the king. And the damsel was very fair. She was beautiful and cherished the king and ministered to him. But the king knew her not." Praise be to God. Let's talk about this just for a minute here. So wonderful, all these different things. But see, she was the one that was sought throughout all the coast. Kind of reminds me right there of the pearl of great price. She was sought out. She was found. And again, what she was found for was to be brought to the king. And they brought her to the king. And thanks be to God, she cherished the king. She loved him. She honored him. She adored the king. And this, again, was King David. And not only was she beautiful and comforting in a sense, but what a precious jewel she was. She even ministered unto him. Now, I want you to think as we get into this and thinking about, again, this bride and what she is to the Father, because this is what David, King David, is representing here. Is not representing in this type that we're talking about here, is not talking about Jesus, is talking about God the Father, and the Son is Solomon. In this type that we have here, Solomon types as Christ. But you think, as we draw nigh to our Lord, we so appreciate the Father. We become obedient sons, just as Christ in us, the hope of glory, performs that obedience to the Father. Father, thy will be done in our lives. And what is the will of the Father? The working of grace. The word of God. His Son to be magnified in all things. Amen? And as we get into this and we understand that, see, brothers and sisters, there needs to be in our life not just an infilling of the Holy Ghost, but a fullness of the Holy Ghost. But I want to ask you, what does it talk about when we truly are filled with the Holy Ghost and we are praising Him in that wonderful tongue? We are speaking what? Mysteries unto who? Unto God. Do you think you're ministering to Him? What do you think? Oh, yes. I pray you see again, the types are endless in here. The layers, praise God, are so beautiful that this one, this, again, in a way, cast out her father made a mistake, but yet she was the chosen one. That's the one I can work with. The one that doesn't know anything. The one that has no pedigree. The one that's the cast off. That's my choice. We're going to grab that one and bring him on in. Was that not each and every one of us here tonight? Think about that. He did. Grace found you. Grace chose you, circled you, called you. Praise God. I will have mercy upon whom I'll have mercy. And I'll have grace upon whom I'll have grace. Hallelujah. Thanks be to God. And you know what, brothers and sisters? Just take it. Don't ask. Just take it. Praise God, just like Esther. She was instructed. Okay, you're going to go into the chamberlain here. You do everything he says. You take everything he wants to give you. And don't add or take from anybody else. And you'll ravish the heart of that king. Praise be to God. But here we are. I think again, how beautiful. And again, how so perfect to the word of God. See, brothers and sisters, this was for the king. She was originally, again, for the father of Solomon. But the father of Solomon, King David, only knew her as a comfort to him. The intimacy that she would bring would only be given to the son. As it said, the king knew her not. And that meant in that sexual intimacy. There's so many writers that say, well, see, that's why he couldn't be king anymore. He wasn't fruitful. And I think, oh, you can't believe it. That's their big find out in this deal. And I'm going, oh my goodness. Well, Lord, thank you. A dummy like me can take what you want. But brothers and sisters, because she could only be the comfort to him, but she would be the wife of his son. And again, you talk about the details in the Word of God. This written so long ago, but testifying so perfectly of what would come, because this is it. This is the unfolding, brothers and sisters, and the infolding and the folding out and all of that that continues to go on with, again, the bride for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I love, as it says here, she was the comfort of the father of Solomon, just as the bride, the readied wife, is such a comfort to God the Father at this time. Do you realize that? What a comfort we are to the Father, to the Godhead, as we run the race to win his son. And brothers and sisters, I'll tell you what. I have two sons. I have two. And someday, if Jesus tarry, I believe they'll wed. And I pray as much as anything that my future daughter-in-laws would give me rest and comfort that they love my sons. That they love my sons. And I knew, she doesn't like me to talk about her very much, but I knew that was the comfort that my wife gave to my dad. My dad knew that my wife loved me. And he didn't worry. It was just what it was. It was just what it needed. It was just who God had put in my life. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Naturally speaking, I do believe that marriage is probably the greatest influence on anybody's life. It is. It's the greatest influence. They will shape, a spouse will shape a life more than anything, really, in anybody's life. Without the proper spouse, the other truly will never grow and flourish into all that that person, not just could be, even beyond what they ever thought they would be. It's just that way. As even man says, behind every great man or famous man or whatever is a great woman. Ha, it's not behind. She's drug him along a long ways, huh, ladies? Knocked him on the head a few times. But see, this is vitally important, and I do wish in the natural more people would really consider this, the necessity of two yielded lives to the Lord, and how God so divinely can cause those lives to encourage one another to run to win Him. And it's very true. But that's just what this word Shunammite, she's Abishag the Shunammite. Her name means a double rest. Not just a rest, but a double portion of rest. And isn't that so true what we've just covered? She's a rest to the Father. And oh my, we'll hit Proverbs 31 as well too. The heart of her husband doth safely trust or rest in her. She's a double portion no matter which way you look at it. But this precious woman, the Shunammite, is that double portion of rest. Now, once again, this so perfectly types the bride for Jesus. Just as David's reign, and you think about King David here, his reign, and it says he was a bloody man, and there wasn't rest in his kingdom. God said there wouldn't be. But God made it that way. Not just, again, people say, oh, David had to be punished. No, God had a purpose. And the purpose was, brothers and sisters, was again to be the perfect type of the bride that his son would have. And exactly trace perfectly in a type of what's going on right now. See, David's reign, brothers and sisters, was to put down all the rule and all the authority that was challenging the kingdom. So that when Solomon would take the kingdom from his dad, he would have a time of perfect peace and perfect rest. That's exactly tracking how God is going to do it for his son. Amen. God is going to put down all rule and all authority. I mean, it's going to be put down. And there's a thing coming called the millennium. And at that time, Jesus Christ will have his wife, and he will reign in that perfect, peacefully stay for that 1,000 years. So again, we have that perfect, we want to call it dovetailing, typing, paralleling of what God does over and over. And again, these are just a few of the things. But see, Solomon's name, his name means peace. And that's exactly what God the Father is going to do as he hands this precious throne to his son and his wife throughout that millennium. But you see, brothers and sisters, this is just the beginning of the story of Abishag, because it even gets better. She then becomes, in chapter 2 of 1 Kings, and we'll go there in just a minute, she becomes the point of great contention in the kingdom. The entire kingdom, as we are going to read here in a moment, hinges on her being Solomon's. Again, this mistake of the father. This little young lady from the backside of the sliver of nowhere has captivated a heart so much that without you, honey, there's no kingdom. I have no kingdom. Praise be to God. The entire kingdom hinges upon that. Because you see what we're going to read here, if you'll turn over to chapter 2 now of 1 Kings. Solomon had a brother, and his name was Adonijah. And he wanted to be king. Matter of fact, he kind of sneakily tried to be king, but God wasn't going to have any of that. God's choice was Solomon. So God put a stop to that. However, Adonijah had a request after he had, confessed or admitted that, nope, it's your throne, brother. This is fine. Everything's good. But, I really want something. But I'm not brave enough to go ask you, or maybe not stupid enough. So I'm going to go get your mother. And I'm going to go get Bathsheba, your mom, Solomon, and I'm going to go get her and ask her if you'll give me Abishag to be my wife. What a great story here. Let's start reading chapter 2, verse 13. All right? And Adonijah, the son of Haggith, came to Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon. And she said, come thou peaceably? And he said, peaceably. And he said, moreover, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And she said, say on. And he said, thou knowest that kingdom was mine, and that all Israel set their faces on me, that I should reign. Howbeit, the kingdom is turned about, and is become my brother's, for it was his from the Lord. Okay. Sounds like maybe we're getting somewhere. And now I ask, one petition of thee, deny me not. And she said unto him, say on. And he said, speak, I pray thee, unto Solomon the king, for he will not say thee nay. See, he was just going to really go at him with his mama. He said, mom's asked him something, he's going to do it. But see, he didn't realize there was one thing that came before his mother. And that was the one. Praise be to God. That he give me Abishag, the Shunammite, to wife. And Bathsheba said, well, I will speak for thee unto the king. Bathsheba therefore went unto King Solomon to speak unto him for Adonijah. And the king rose up to meet her and bowed himself unto her and sat down on his throne and caused a seat to be set for the king's mother. And she sat on his right hand. I tell you, he honored his mom. He loved his mom. So much type in that as well too. And we've talked about that before. But you could see how he so loved her and cherished his mama. Then she said, I desire one small petition of thee. And notice she said small. I pray thee, say me not. So she says, I got just a small thing to ask you. And please don't deny me of what I'm going to ask. Boy, I mean, she was really laying it on. We're talking guilt on the son. Come on. That's how it is. Okay, mama, I see some big head shaking going on here. You know what I'm talking about. And the king said unto her, ask on, my mother, for I will not say thee nay. Never say never. And he said, let Abishag the Shunammite be given to Adonijah, the brother, thy brother, to wife. And King Solomon, he didn't even have to think about this. And he answered and said unto his mother, and why dost thou ask Abishag the Shunammite for Adonijah? Ask for him the kingdom also. For he is mine elder brother, even for him and for Abathar the priest and for Joab the son of Zariah. Then King Solomon swore by the Lord, saying, God do so to me and more also, if Adonijah have spoken this word against his own life. Now therefore, as the Lord liveth, which hath established me and set me on the throne of David my father, and who hath made me in house, and he promised, Adonijah shall be put to death this day. And King Solomon sent by the hand of Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, and he fell upon him that he died. Just a small thing. I'm not going to tell you no, Mom. What? There wasn't even a what. It was, he's dead. Isn't that something? This precious little damsel. This one. My goodness. And you got to read this. And you know, Bathsheba was shocked. She came to him saying, you know, thinking, you know, Solomon, you got a lot of wives. You got queens all over the place. You had Sheba over here not too long ago. You had concubines. Can't you give up just one? And this one? And his response was so overwhelming. Why don't I just give up the kingdom? Now, do you see how he loves you? Do you see how he loves you? Why was this written? This is his fair one. This is the one. See, he wouldn't even want the kingdom without her. Matter of fact, there would be no kingdom without her. She is the whole meaning of completing him. Praise the Lord. Welcome to Paul's gospel. Amen. And see, brothers and sisters, you start to speak to people about these things. And I'm talking about your brothers and sisters in the Lord that don't have a vision. You talk about a division. You talk about looking at you like not just a mystery. I mean, it can be a lot of different things, and I don't need to get into it because we've all experienced it. But brothers and sisters, this is so marvelous. This is the one that completes him. This is the one that, again, finishes him for the taking of the throne. This, again, is why it's so sweetly evident in the Word of God. Jesus Christ is sitting at the right hand of God at this moment and will not take that throne until he has his wife. Praise be to God. That precious type over and over. And again, this is so abundantly high just getting into the introduction. My goodness, when you start feasting on the main course, oh my. But it is. But it is what it is. And this is to us. And this is who and what he sees for us. This is how that just one bat of her eye she is ravished. This is how in that precious story of Esther, as she comes before this king and he says, what would thy petition be? And she gives it. But he just says, wait a second, honey. It's all yours. It's all yours. What's mine is yours. It doesn't, even though it says, well, half of the kingdom, if you look at that interpreted, it's all yours. You complete me. This is who we are. We're one. We will reign jointly together. We will be glorified jointly together. Amen? The woman is the glory of man. She descends from heaven having the glory of God and her light. It's all him. But she took it, and that's what she is to him. She is the light of him, and he is the light of her. Praise God. Hallelujah. And thank you, Jesus, that, you know what? I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I've had people say, oh, brother, you shouldn't talk like that. God help me if I didn't. Oh, my, how could I not speak of these things which I have seen and heard? Praise be to God. But this is what it is. And see, matter of fact, as we spoke earlier, the Shunammite, that word means a double rest. When she is spoken here as the Shulamite, what she becomes to her lover, that word Shulamite means the perfect. The perfect, the one, the only, the completing one. Without her, I have no kingdom. So if you take her, you might as well just take my kingdom. Because she makes it. All right now. You can sit up just a little taller. Say, thank you, Jesus. At the same time, you're bowing down just a little deeper. And saying, oh, she says, I'm black but comely. Oh, thank the Lord. Hallelujah. See, praise God. What he's saying here is, she's everything to me. You're everything to him. You really are. And that's why, brothers and sisters, we can run on. That's why we can apprehend him and apprehend that grace that truly all of the cares of this life, we're really going to get go. We have to lay aside every weight. Amen? This is not just a story. This is your love story. This is your love story. If you'll take this, and this is mine. This isn't just, let's find out what's in here. Lord, speak to me. Holy Ghost, tell me. Make this alive again and again and again, and more alive in my life. Let me hear this spoken to me, Jesus. But see, brothers and sisters, we do. We need to hear that. I gave the testimony as the Lord started speaking to me and really wooing my heart at the age of 17. I know I audibly heard in my heart, son, I want to marry you. I want you. Hallelujah. I thank God. And this is what she begins to hear. And as we'll go through and in this, you know, first of all, obviously, the only way our love's going to grow is we got to see the beauty of him. Amen. And understand, he's the one that's altogether lovely. He's the one that's altogether all. Matter of fact, he's all in all and all in all. And that's just what it is. But as I take that, and as I praise him for his beauty and his grace, that begins to transform me. And I thank God. And yes, there's a love so sweetly for the saints and for brotherly love. But it all comes, brothers and sisters, and in that magnificence, it all becomes because he's my first love. And you'll see that conflict and that battle she'll have and many different things and the cares of this life. And most of the cares that you'll see in this wonderful Song of Solomon are very good cares. They really are. They're cares that are really commendable cares, even in Christianity. But their cares, if you stay with them, you'll be the one saying, return, return, O Shulamite. Amen. I've said this before. Great faith, great, great faith. And great, great faith is great, great love. Because you can't have that great, great faith without great, great love. To ones that are immature, appears arrogant. That you're trying to separate yourself, but you're not. You're just in love. Remember how when you fell in love and, you know, you had all those friends that you ran around with and everything like that? And then you fell in love and you just didn't run around with your friends no more. You didn't really want to be with them. You wanted to be with her or you want to be with him. And they kind of got mad. You're always with her. What's wrong with you? You forgot all about us. Yeah, pretty much. It's what love does. Amen? That's why that love that caused that one to leave the father and the mother, that home, that convenience, and joined and made one. Bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. Brothers and sisters, this wasn't speaking of a natural marriage, was it? This is speaking of Christ and the church. Now, I thank the Lord again. How many love to rejoice? And how many, first of all, would even know this message? Because then how could you know if you've never been taught? You have to hear it from teacher or preacher. God even did it by the foolishness of preaching. It's amazing how what God chose, isn't it? But it's just what he did. And I thank the Lord that, again, he can take this by the Holy Ghost and make this mine. Amen? Just like he's doing tonight. That's what it is. It's not my words. It's nothing of, I don't have any ability anyways. But it's the Holy Ghost dealing with you right now. Strumming on those heartstrings again. Yearning and aching. I thank God. You know, you heard about the Song of Solomon and said, you know what? I know that's special. But I pray you really know how special that is. This is yours. This is what you are to him. This is the same calling, brothers and sisters, as Solomon telling his mother, "Mother, I'll never give her up. I can't. She's the kingdom. She's it. Without her, I don't have it. Without her, I cannot take the throne. Without her, I can't rule and reign. Without her, I can't be glorified as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords." Because she's the Song of Songs. We get it just a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more about how much he desires us and how much he wants us to take this place. I heard our precious sister speaking of this and giving this study, and I'm so thankful about the plan of God, and it's wonderful. But his purpose for us, the place that he wants us to take. The plan is wonderful. I can see the plan, but the purpose becomes me. I'm his purpose. I'm his pleasure. I'm his pleasure. Oh, yes, to the good pleasure of his will. Praise God. Praise God. This is it, brothers and sisters. She is that precious double portion. We'll kind of close this up here. But you'll see that this pattern shown from the very beginning, as God spoke to his son, he said, "Honey, it's not good for man to live alone." Amen? We know that. Now we know that there is a type of that, that was yes for, meaning that there was going to be a wife, Eve, that was going to be made for Adam. But the heights of this was the plan of God for his son. And think again, what he did so sweetly in Adam and Eve to encourage us on in what we are to Christ. Adam, you're not going to complete until you have your helpmate. You're not going to be right until you have your wife. And yes, the first man, Adam, he did not reign over it until he had his companion, until he had his glory. Just as the second Adam, Jesus Christ, will not reign over all until he has his companion too. Over and over, God uses this same precious type. It's that pattern that's woven. Praise God, and I thank God for his simplicity, at least. Again, it's all of the simplicity of the gospel, but thanking him for, again, the details of the simplicity. Brothers and sisters, see the picture within the picture. See that precious bride of Christ. Ask the Lord. You don't need to go trying to find it. God will show it to you. And he'll show it to you again and again throughout the Word of God. Lord, let me see more. Hallelujah. Just like Daniel's heart pleaded with the Lord, "Lord, let me see more." But he shut it up. But to us, it's open. To us, our fellowship is in the Holy of Holies. It's in the inner chamber. Praise God. The fellowship he wants for us is in that smoke that arises that even the priests got to leave. Oh, where's he going? I don't know. He's just way. But see, she is the double portion. And I do appreciate, brothers and sisters, so much. And I thank God for, as we pray again, for teachers and different ones. But of all of these different ones that have loved the Lord, and, you know, whether it was, you know, Brother Schofield here, and Brother, I was looking at some writings of Brother Luther and Brother McIntosh and things of that nature. See, they write so sweetly and powerfully of the Redeemer and the atonement and this transaction, like, you know, this the price that was paid. And we rejoice in that. It's our rejoicing too. But there was one thing that was missed: the passion, the true passion. The passion of the ages. The passion, again, of what we have been speaking tonight. Mom, I can't have a kingdom without her. Father, thank you that you've set it up, that you have sent the Holy Ghost to seek and to search out the true worshiper who worships me in spirit and in truth. And thanking God that he will be successful. Just like Abraham when he sent out the servant to find Isaac's wife. You'll be successful. You'll find her. And you know what? Here's what she'll be like. And here's where she'll be. And here's what she'll do. And here's all the evidences of her. So once I show her to you, just go feed her. Go take her all the things of my son which you have and make them hers. Make them known to her. Put the bracelets upon her. Put the ring and put the earrings on her. Let her know that he's waiting for her. Let her know that, as she will find out, I am my beloved's and his desire is toward me. So we thank God, brothers and sisters, that this is the double portion love of the lover and his wife. That the Holy Ghost will bring out in this precious song the joy and intimacy with Christ that can be ours, that should be ours. Think of that, how it says that. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs, joint heirs, as husband and wife with Jesus Christ. This is for us. If you pass this by, this was your decision. If this is something that, well, that's just a neat story, that was your decision. The Lord wants more than anything, not only your salvation, but for you to come to the full knowledge of his Son. This knowledge. Praise God, the knowledge that Solomon had with Abishag. But brothers and sisters, only Christ can do it. But it can be ours, and we can have a life filled with all the fullness of God. We can have a life that's full. Amen? Praise God. We can have a life, praise the Lord, that's captivated and overwhelmed. In every breath we take, we can live in growing in the knowledge of the love of Christ, our purpose for him. As I mentioned earlier, to be his pleasure. As it says, vessels only for the master's use. Vessels to the praise and the glory of his grace. This is ours. We've hit the mother lode. It's true. Don't ever think you've fallen short. Don't ever think you've been shortchanged. Don't. Don't. He loves you so much. Let that always convict your heart too. Yep, we are in weakened flesh. I understand it. I get there sometimes too. But he quickens you along with his love, doesn't he? When our minds are stayed upon him and we're talking about with what he has shown us in the Word of God. Oh no, Lord. I know it's perfect. I know it's exact. I know I'm set for the mark, for the prize, for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I know there weren't any hits and misses, Lord God. You've brought me to this place to praise you for this grace, to thank you so richly that you have drawn me out. Yes, there's been a cost. Yes, there's been hurt. Yes, there's been separation. But that's how it is. Love costs. Love suffers, and it suffers long. Love endures. Love abides faithful. But one thing over it all, love rejoices in that I'm loved. That no matter what befalls me, no matter what comes my way, I know the divine agape love. I know Paul's gospel love. I know it wasn't just written for somebody else. It was written for me. It's mine. This is my love story. This is your love story. Take it. Amen? And if the Lord tarry, we'll press on. Praise God. Let's stand and be dismissed.